Welcome back to Words Accompanied by the Spirit. This is episode 290, entitled The Sacrifices of Stewards. I wanted to write this as an ode to the servants of the Most High and Holy God. A love letter of appreciation for all of your sacrifices. Many don't realize the determination and unmitigated effort that it takes to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is so easy to portray the lovers of God to be weak. But other than lip service, most men are not willing to work laboriously until the end, to be an eager martyr, giving up all ties to family and friends while facing persecution and rejection daily. You had better know that this is not for the weak. And God has been making this crystal clear to me. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 to 38 of the King James Version. What does this mean to the one who has a child practicing sexual immorality, including homosexuality, who says, I am going to support and love my child no matter what? And you never correct your child and tell them that they are wrong, teaching them the consequences of their choices. Who do you honor more? Who is the coward who will allow an unimaginable fate of eternal damnation for their child because the world says that it is okay? Because it is easier for you to reject God while honoring Satan. I think of Celestial of the Master's Voice Prophecy blog, Sister J of J for Jesus, who is completing a 21-day fast and prayer session for the manifestation of kingdom mates, and Pastor Omar Tebow and his wife of the School of Hebrews, who have all put in countless hours and years into their callings. Fasting, praying, teaching, prophesying, and given to the prophetic. They have archives and memorials of their lives, speaking to their dedication to Jesus and spending time with God for you and me. And I will see people on their lives, if they go live, who can't stop commenting, or who will have enough respect to sit in silence apart from worshiping the Lord while the word goes forth. It should be clear when they decide to stop doing so, even as they turn their comments off. They are in a committed relationship with the Lord. They have learned to immerse themselves in Him. It is not easy to deny your flesh. It is why Jesus takes such a harsh stance against the flesh. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Galatians 5 and 24 of the King James Version. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 of the King James Version. The flesh is powerful. We are to kill it, to destroy it, so that we are no longer enslaved and bound to it. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify, subdue and put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Romans chapter 8, verse 13 of the King James Version. And the devil knows this. This is how serious the Lord is about the matter. Take it in its literal sense. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, gouge it out, and cast it from thee. Don't save or try to repair it. Throw it away. It is not redeemable. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. Don't put it on ice to try and sew it back on. Sever it. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast in hell. Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 to 30 of the King James Version. Other translations will say to separate yourself from the source. But if it is not possible, you need to know that Jesus means to literally crucify it as necrotic putrefaction or decomposition. Matter that is already insidiously dying. This is why it is so important to depend on the Lord for a daily provision of strength. Meditate on this. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 of the King James Version. You can die today, at any second. No one is promised tomorrow. So the best thing that you can do is to focus on getting through today. Because we are flesh, born in sin, we are prone to evil. Just as I look to God to sustain me, those who love Satan look to him to keep them, loving iniquity. He really only needs to plant the thought and sit back and watch it evolve. Many will willingly carry it out. In most cases, he literally does nothing but stalk and wait. It is just easier to walk with the devil when we walk according to our flesh. We do it every day. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19 of the King James Version. It is the power of concupiscence, the power of seduction, and the allure of sin. Men are held in spiritual bondage by principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in dark places, and mostly by our own flesh. Here is the warning: enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Don't go near it. Turn from it and pass away. Run. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 to 17 of the King James Version. They take of Satan's body and of his defiled blood. But to follow God, you have to have a high level of discipline, and the lack thereof is manifested in Scripture. It is impossible to tame the smallest member of our bodies. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. James chapter 3, verses 2 to 7 of the King James Version. Most human beings draw strength from either the supreme creator or Satan, the latter being energized by misery, hate, and every type of injustice. But it is also superficial, temporary, and deceiving power. I will give two factual narratives to support this and prove God's lasting sustenance, following it up by a godly example that proves why it is necessary to have our minds stayed on God. Then I saw another beast rising up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon, showing his deception for a time, a wolf in sheep's clothing. But his speech will reveal all. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence when the two are together. And he makes the earth and those who inhabit it worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, awe-inspiring acts, even making fire fall from the sky to the earth right before people's eyes. And he deceives those unconverted ones who inhabit the earth into believing him because of the signs which he is given by Satan. Don't miss this. To perform in the presence of the first beast, telling those who inhabit the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded fatally by the sword and has come back to life. Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 to 13 of the Amplified Version. I said it before, you will be worshiping a dead thing. There is no life in it, but many will be deceived. Do you remember that movie Independence Day with Will Smith? The alien was speaking through the dead scientist and had almost deceived them into thinking that the scientist was still alive. Exactly. In this passage of scripture, up to a certain point, Pharaoh's magicians were able to duplicate the plagues that were done by Moses, even though they could not make the distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites as God did, so that the plagues did not touch the Israelites. They also could not rescind a plague once it was pronounced by Moses. It could only be revoked by God. Until the magicians had to admit to the fact that their sorcery was an illusion. Secondly, and the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Exodus chapter 8, verses 16 to 20 of the King James Version. By saying that it was the finger of God, they were acknowledging God's absolute, unmatched power and his supreme authority. And thirdly, And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 7 to 8 of the King James Version. And by this last thing, you need to understand that you will need resolve and discipline, or you will deplete what, if any, you may have stored. One of the most valuable things that the Lord taught me is that it is time to dig in my heels, to set my face like a flint. And just as the Lord taught the Israelites that he would provide nothing more or less than what the Israelites needed in a day, no matter how much or little they gathered, it is a warning that our sustenance comes from God. And every day we need to get in his presence and plead for our daily provision. It is not by might or power, but by his Spirit. So as we delve into the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, the Holy Spirit will guide me as I show you the cost, expended energy, and the exhaustion that it takes to die to yourself. And if you are unable to do this in singleness with God, how dare you deceive yourself into believing that without him, you would be able to endure as the chosen prophets or leaders of God's people. I had recently felt as if I had become stagnant in my walk with the Lord. I began to lack empathy and compassion, feeling unsympathetic, despondent, and aloof. It was a very empty and dark place. I had no hope. I asked the Lord to remember my constant prayer as a child, that if he was not going to be with me, then I don't want to go, preferring death instead. It was a battle to pray, worship, and meditate in his word. I kept questioning what was happening to me. Then the Lord began to show me scriptures that warned me of my own falling away. God was showing me the dangers of being indifferent and the tenacity that is needed to endure. So as we back this up with the word of the Lord, I want you to understand the depth and gravity of the scriptures that accompany this teaching. Let's dive deep into approval-seeking schema, contingent self-worth, and codependency, to name a few. I suggest that you study and do an inner self-reflection to understand how these may apply to you, so that you may know that depravity is inescapable without the intimate knowledge of who Jesus is and his power to heal and make whole. Where will you ever see the scoffers and mockers that are willing to give up their entourages? The enemy will always hide under the cover of others. Histrionic personality disorder is characterized by an overwhelming, often theatrical desire for attention and approval to mask a hollow sense of self. Covert narcissism defined. Beneath the outward low self-esteem, the individual requires constant, subtle reassurance to feed a fragile ego. And dependent personality disorder is a deep-seated inability to make even basic daily decisions without excessive advice, reassurance, and validation from others. It is what makes these podcasters and others so popular. The devil has given many over to the herd and mob mentalities. No one can think for themselves, and anyone who has a different opinion is considered an outcast and rejected. No matter how perverse, immoral, and of low standards the rejectors themselves are. Because Satan's agenda is clearly being shown to work for the good of all. Right? God's knowledge is without bounds, and I am thankful that it did not take much for me to realize that I am nothing without Him. I was ready to perish in a dismal abyss. People will claim that some have it easy, but that is not the way of the Lord. I can attest to this. I am never allowed shortcuts or the easy way out. Even having to fight for what I have rightfully achieved. To be honest, there was never a need to roll back diversity, equity, and inclusion. This is a country that thrives on cronyism, nepotism, and favoritism. Only the ones that are always benefiting from it will say otherwise. As for me, I am being chastened every day and shown my imperfections. It is a constant learning gradient that allows me to work towards perfection and holiness that I will never master in the flesh. But by faith I am commanded, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 of the King James Version. Understanding why it is also written, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." Romans chapter 9, verses 15 to 16 of the King James Version. There are two more things, actually three, that the Holy Spirit has been impressing upon me. The importance of awe-filled reverence and respect for the Ruach HaKodesh, along with the true meaning of hiding the word of Ruach Elohim in our hearts, and the importance of a continual state of seeking His face in every situation. Becoming so good at these things that we may be prepared for the time that cometh when no man can work. The former is critical as I briefly watched J for Jesus. She has a husband and a family, but had taken her time to conduct a 21-day fast for kingdom relationships, sacrificing time away from her family, personal life, ventures, and whatever trials and tribulations that are surrounding her for others. Going live allows her to be more accessible, and it is amazing how blatantly disrespectful the audience can be. Talking with one another, asking redundant questions, and making ignorant comments, so that when she decided to cut some things out, there began to be pleas for her not to do so, as some were listening. But at that time, I believe her decision should have been respected. People are intentionally quenching the spirit. And she asked them or stated a profound truth, that many are so blind, selfish, entitled, and ungrateful that they did not know or perceive God's presence. After she made the most beautifully sincere request for his presence recently, a devout petition, invocation, and supplication, being the most beautiful display of someone not just loving him, but being in love with him. Her singing and the lyrics she used were a majestic expression and inspiration to me. A place where I am striving to be. Where I used to be. And they may never see this, but I appreciate their toil and efforts. Many are quick to judge the Lord's anointed, which is baffling to me, and shows how unlearned they are who would say that they are discerning good from evil. I want to confirm this with two passages. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. Mark chapter 3, verses 28 to 30 of the King James Version. And John chapter 16, verses 1 through 3 of the Amplified Version. I have told you these things so that you will not stumble or be caught off guard, becoming offended, and fall away. They will put you out of the synagogues and make you outcasts. And a time is coming when whoever kills you will think that he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father or me. The latter was impressed upon me while my grandkids were present with me. At one point, I became so frustrated with them because I was not able to pray in peace, concluding that it is why I like my alone time, even as God was answering my prayers to have more time with them before my circumstances change and they or I may not be easily accessible or available. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and taught me that I need to know how to seek Him inwardly through opposition in every situation. because they need to see and learn these things. Separating myself will do nothing to teach them. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Remember also, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John chapter 9, verse 4 of the King James Version. I want to reinforce the first while confirming the last. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 13 and 16 to 24 in the King James Version. One of the lessons learned is how weak and fragile we are as mere men. Our faith is the shield that quenches the fiery darts. And I want you to understand the magnitude of this scripture. Read Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31 for context. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Verses 27 to 31. Satan can attest to this. He was up close and personal with God, seeing the Almighty in his glory. Yet look at the path he chose and be forewarned. It is now that we must appreciate and know that the mustard seed has established deep roots. Another gem that I have received from these highly favored chosen ones is that not only must we pray unceasingly, but that we must first and foremost pray over our very prayers, about the very act of praying, that our fervent, effectual prayers are effective and will accomplish the things whereto they are sent. that they are aligned with the Holy Spirit and the statutes and commandments of our Lord and Savior. Let me say, as a mother of 6 living and 2 that have passed on to glory, don't be so distracted by the devil and wallowing in self-pity that your children are left defenseless and without a covering. We as parents are their covering. Because while we are being attacked overtly, Satan is attacking our children covertly. There is nothing more painful than coming to the realization that as a parent, you can be so focused on your own hurt that you leave your children exposed. Train them up in the way that they should go. Just as we have been told to think about what we are thinking, pray over your prayers. I exalt Jesus as Lord and Savior, and am baffled when people say, "I study all religions because I want to make sure I know as much as I need to. I want to make an informed choice." Hear me when I say that you won't learn that from me. Many can deny it, but this is learned from a corrupt, demonic, educational system steeped in paganism, influenced by polytheists and pantheist Gentiles that are surrounding them, including family, friends, and strangers. Don't leave your children vulnerable, unprotected, and defenseless. Don't allow the tools of the enemy and all his social medias to influence them. But all is not lost for us, because the Lord shows me that in everything, and from a sincere place of love, as we train them up, that they will remember and have respect unto Jesus and unto prayer, like trees planted by the rivers of water, showing us that they remember our precious teachings. So take heart, but I am warning you. Put on the whole armor of God so that you are able to stand, having done all to stand. Don't turn your back on your enemy. Don't turn your back on your children. Pray that God's will prevails in their lives. Welcome to the final and 34th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 through 3 of the King James Version. Here God is establishing his boundaries for his people. This will be confirmed in the book of Joshua. A place prepared by him that is protected within the confines of his divinely ordained limits. Particularly prepared for the tribes of Israel. They are set by God for our protection, and destruction awaits everyone who steps outside of them. Before I give you the scriptures that solidify this, Let me tell you that obedience is a boundary. Even as parents give a command for children to follow, how many children and young adults do you know personally that have died? Even more significantly, being murdered, kidnapped, and/or assaulted after escaping from their rooms, running away from home, and walking contrary to their parents' warnings. Don't despise the hedge of protection set by the Lord. Satan is crafty and will use evil lusts and love for materialism to destroy us in our lack of contentment. Now the king sent word and called for Shimei and said to him, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there. Do not go from there to any other place. For on the day you leave and cross over the brook Kidron, know for certain that you shall surely die. Your blood shall be on your own head." Shimei said to the king, "The word or ruling is good. As my lord the king has said, so will your servant do." So Shimei lived in Jerusalem for many days. But it happened after 3 years that two of Shimei's servants ran away to Achish, the son of Maacah, the king of Gath. And Shimei was told, "Behold, your runaway servants are in Gath." So Shimei arose, saddled his donkey, and went to Gath to King Achish to look for his servants. And Shimei went and brought them back from Gath. Now Solomon was told that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and had returned. So the king sent word and called for Shimei and said to him, "Did I not make you swear by the Lord and solemnly warn you, saying, 'Know for certain that on the day you leave Jerusalem and go anywhere, you shall surely die'? And you said to me, 'The word or ruling I have heard is good.' Why then have you not kept the oath of the Lord and the command which I gave you?" The king also said to Shimei, "You are aware in your own heart of all the evil you did to my father David. So the Lord shall return your evil on your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever." So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he went out and struck down Shimei, and he died. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 36 to 46 of the Amplified Version. Let me repeat it again. Obedience is an impenetrable spiritual boundary, a wall of fire established by our Lord and Savior to keep man from evil. And the Lord said unto him, "This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 4 to 6 of the King James Version. Now, it is said that Satan had a sinister agenda in mind for the body of Moses, wanting it for himself. It is also argued that hiding Moses' body prevented the Israelites from participating in idol worship by worshiping his physical remains. Moses died even though it is written that he was in perfect health. Both are plausible to me because of the correlation that the Holy Spirit gave me. But I want to confirm the sovereignty of God. He hid Moses' body and no demon, familiar spirit, or even Satan was and will ever be aware of his resting place. The evil intentions of men and the fallen are confirmed in the book of Jude. And this is what the Lord put in my heart concerning the matter. Equating to the wickedness of men and the damage that can be done when the pure power of the Lord is manipulated and twisted by Satan. This gives a clear understanding of the power of the anointing that God refused to allow Satan to exploit and tarnish. Elisha died and they buried him. Now marauding bands of Moabites would invade the land in the spring of the year. And it happened that as a man was being buried on an open bier, they saw a marauding band coming, and they threw the man into Elisha's grave. But when the body of the man was being let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. 2 Kings chapter 13 verses 20 to 21 of the Amplified Version. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 34 verses 7 through 9 of the King James Version. Moses did not let his anointing go dormant. As the Lord commanded, he passed it on to Joshua, allowing the virtue given to him to pass so that there was no cessation of the promise of God. Joshua picked right up where Moses left off to confirm and to do the will of the Lord. Virtue is defined as moral excellence, righteousness, and spiritual strength, a Christ-like character and inner power to live in obedience to God's word. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 34 verses 10 through 12 of the King James Version. Many times our Lord spoke of the hard-heartedness of his people. saying that they were a stiff-necked people. Not only yet while we were sinners did he give his life for us, but he gave us the book of life. It encompasses what Abraham meant when he said that they have Moses and the prophets. We have this precious book of life in our possession. The book that sustains life. God did not leave any of us on our own. This sustenance overcomes all trials and adversity. With it, we will not hunger or thirst. The most precious commodity given, along with the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, comforter, counselor, and advocate, parakletos, strengthener, and intercessor, Spirit of truth, Spirit of life, omnipresent, omnipotent, holy, and so much more, so that we cannot fail if we follow him. If we do, we have no excuse because we were not left empty. He gave us all that we need to overcome. All the books in this world combined are not as valuable as this one book. And we are out here looking for someone to spoon feed us and or allowing it to sit unopened as a centerpiece instead of immersing ourselves in it, instead of looking to the Holy Spirit for guidance. The Bible is the book of life. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 to 13 of the King James Version. Do you understand yet? The Bible is the standard. The Bible is the book of life. And we will be judged by it according to our works, words, and the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Always coming from a place of love and in truth. And again, I humbly offer you some additional resources as the Lord is bringing them to me, as this prophet has described, given to her from God, so that you may prepare for what is to come. The end times are upon us, and because of my love for the Lord and my family and for you, and the great sorrow that I feel as I see those around me walking in oblivious darkness and untruths, I feel compelled to provide Celestial's teachings to you. The links are not referenced on the vlogs, but are available on the blog/podcast pages of my site at benevolentwoman.com. For the revelation of true end times prophecy, please visit Celestial's site, the Master's Voice Prophecy Blog. Also, if you desire a deeper revelation of who you are as a people, visit School of the Hebrews with Pastor Omar Tebow, a man of God. And when you need help with praying effectively and with fire, as it is written, The fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Visit Saturday Recharge with Sister J, or J for Jesus. God is calling his people. Thank you again. Thank you.